I think the Terry family pretty much is an intense family overall, except my husband, maybe. In a different way. It's such a privilege to be here, and I'm just looking forward to what the Lord is going to do today in all the workshops and in the sessions. How many have a heart that is expecting the Lord to do something special? Such a privilege to be with you today. Such a privilege. Well, I was born and raised in the Netherlands, or also called Holland. That's why to this day, especially children sometimes ask why I talk a little funny. I don't hear it myself, but I know it's there. But I was born and raised there, and I am so privileged to let you know that I saw the work of the Holy Spirit growing up and experienced it. I saw miracles of healing, of deliverance, just great provision. And though it seemed normal, we all knew it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, in 74, I immigrated to the United States and married my beloved husband, Jerry. And next Friday, we're married 50 years. So, I had grown up in a worldwide missions work, and my dad, who was the founder, began a branch office in Michigan, and we both went there to run the branch office. After 1 year working together, and just it was a new ministry, we went back to Holland to visit, to see my family, and to reconnect with the ministry there. And we were asked both to share at the staff prayer meeting. So when it became my turn, I was sharing testimony of God's faithfulness during a very challenging year. Challenging because we were adapting both to new cultures, my husband coming from the very south, me coming from Holland, and also trying to blend those cultures together. I think we were trying to figure out how the wooden shoes would connect with the cowboy boots. And at first, it didn't. It was challenging. God has been so faithful. So I was sharing about God's faithfulness. And from the back, somebody kind of spoke up real loud as I was sharing and said, "You chose it yourself." And those words, coming back to the United States, to our home in Michigan, they began to take root in my life. I believed them. Coming from a very mission, save the lost type ministry, I looked all around and I was just so amazed by how much gospel was here. And I looked through the eyes of those words and I thought, I chose it myself. This was not the path God chose for me. So how can I truly believe for God's best if I chose my own path? And that really lie was in the back of my mind almost 10 years. I've never told this story, but God led me to tell it today. We came to a point at that time to pray together with another couple, because we both were transitioning in ministry, felt we were transitioning to a pastoral ministry, and so we would pray weekly together. And one of those nights when we were praying, the Holy Spirit gave me a prayer. How many are thankful for a Holy Spirit prayer that comes to our heart and mind? Whether it's for ourselves or somebody else, God still wants to do that. Amen? And I whispered in my heart to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, if it is not true that I chose this path, and if it isn't true that Dad just sent me to work on this branch office, but if it's you that chose this path for me, just knock me on the ground." Well, that instant, I was slain under the power of the Holy Spirit and fell to the ground. And I was laying there on the ground. I heard the voice of the Spirit saying, Esther, I have called you here to light a fire. Needless to say, when the word of truth came, it instantly replaced the lie. And I pray that God gives us words of the Spirit, whether it's for ourselves or somebody else, that sets people free. Amen? Amen? And tears streaming down my face, I felt this weight lifted from me. One word of truth from the Lord. Well, in time, the Lord showed me, as wonderful and powerful that word had meant to me on that moment and set me free, but the Lord showed me that that word that he gave that very night wasn't just for me, but he showed me that it was for every believer. And it is for you and I today. God has called you here to light a fire. That's why you're on this earth. It is his fire. And it can only be done by the power and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so in this first session, we are talking about the empowered life. The second session, the empowered church. And the third session, the empowered mission. But as we are focusing on the empowered life, God is calling us to himself, to the baptizer in this first session. He's calling us by renewal to he, the one that baptizes. And how many are ready for fresh oil? How many are ready for fresh fire? How many are ready for a move of God? Dr. Dwayne Durst, a couple weeks ago in our meeting with leadership, he said, I want to pray for just a new work of the Holy Spirit. And I know there's many of you that have been praying for that. And Jerry and I join us with your prayer that God wants to pour out his Spirit today, but not just today. He wants to pour out his Spirit on our network and on the churches today. And I believe that with all my heart. He gave the theme. Thank you, Pastor Greg and Laura. And so that means that's what God wants to do, right? Because he gave the theme. You know, at first when I received that word long ago, I was thinking of what it meant. Well, what that looked like. And honestly, I thought, when I received that afterwards, I thought, I think what that means is when I will speak at church or in a gathering, God is just going to anoint me and give me his fire. But in time, I came to understand, thank God, not just for church. That is for every day. And by renewal, he wants to put a new fire in our hearts for him so that the fire can spread to our homes, to our children, our grandchildren, and those we come in contact with. It's a daily walk with the Lord for fresh fire. And so that's what we're talking about in this first session. And I see the cry of God's heart, not only today for that, but I recognize God's cry for that throughout the entire Bible. It already started right when the Bible opens up in Genesis, where God comes looking for Adam and says, Adam, where are you? Because we are called to God himself, who is the baptizer of the fire that he wants to give us and to empower us by his Spirit to do the greater works. And then we see Moses, who had an encounter at the burning bush with God, the presence, God himself. And he had that encounter, and he was told in Leviticus 6:13 that he needed to keep the fire burning continually at the altar of sacrifice. And when the fire would go down a little bit, they were told that they needed to get new fire, fresh fire from the brazen altar, because that was the fire that God lit himself. And that is also a picture of the cross. The Lord wants that our fire keeps burning because it's getting darker. It's getting darker. And we need a fresh fire in our lives. And so Moses, his whole heart had that cry in his heart, and I recognize that. And we see that also in Deuteronomy 4, where he cries out to the people just before they go in the promised land. He didn't tell them how to do it, but what he told them, he called them back to the Lord, the one that is a consuming fire. And he called them and he said, oh, which is this great nation as this, that God is so near to it, as the Lord our God is to us. He is so near to us. And that for whatever reason, we may call upon him. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people. You shall cross over and possess this good land, but take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made you, and make for yourself a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord God is a consuming fire, and he is a jealous God. That was the cry in his heart. And truly it was a warning. It was a warning. He wanted them to not forget. And I believe that is why Jesus also instituted, right, the Holy Communion, that he always says, remember me. And there were so many others in the Word, but one more I want to highlight as it shows to us where we are today. And that is Elijah. Elijah, and we see this in 1 Kings 18, verse 20 to 40. But we see that it was such a dry time, and the people had turned away from God. And he called them all Mount Horeb. He wanted to meet with them, and he called them to make up their mind to not linger between two opinions, but to serve the Lord God. And there was no answer. And there's many people today that they don't commit, they don't answer. And that's why we need the fire of the Holy Spirit that will more compel them, amen. And so he repaired the altar, and then he prays. In verse 37, I think it is, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, he prays simply, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell to their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. In the light of the fire, they turned back to God. And in the light of the fire, those false prophets were exposed and expelled. All of them. Exposed and expelled. And in this, we see such a beautiful picture of the gospel. It wasn't just an accident that Elijah rebuilt that altar, and that he prayed unto God at the time of the evening sacrifice. Because that was about 3 o'clock. And that is the very time that our Lord and Savior died on the cross. And when Jesus died, The fire of God's wrath consumed the sacrifice, Jesus, right? That we might live as living sacrifices, being consumed with the fire of his love. Hallelujah. And then burn for him so that the light can spread to those around us. I find that so incredible. He was the in-between. The fire of his wrath consumed the sacrifice that I might be a living sacrifice, being consumed with the fire of his love. And God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God, and he wants all of us. A few months ago, I was praying, and I was praying for fresh anointing, fresh fire. Just felt dry and just felt like I needed that. Do you need that today? And I was like praying about it and couldn't get breakthrough. It felt a little dry, you know. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought a song to my mind. I've forgotten about that song. You know the song. If I could sing, I would sing it to you, but my husband is the singer. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. But the second verse says, oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that mourns, that burns with holy fear. And I forgot about that second verse. And when that second verse came, the Holy Spirit hit me. He came. The Holy Spirit comes when we call him. He came. And truly, I just sense his power and his presence. And I began to praise and worship him for the fire that's still available today. I began to praise and worship him for who he was and began to pray for you that this day his fire will fall anew and fresh on your life. Oh, because he is the baptizer. But then that second verse at the same time also brought me to Revelations 2. And it is a cry of Jesus. We know that when Jesus was on this earth, he also wept over Jerusalem and such a heart of, you know, he's so, I desired that they would have my peace, but they missed the moment of visitation. But then we also see that cry of Jesus to the churches in of the last day. And this church is found in Revelations 2, verse 1 to 7. And the Lord says in verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say that they are apostles, but they are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Wow, I have been meditating on this church. This was an incredible church. Whew, when I read that, I thought, Lord, we need a few more churches like that. I mean, it was in the time of Nero persecution, and they kept standing, not becoming weary. And Paul had warned them so much. It was the church of Ephesus that Paul had poured into, and for years with tears did not cease to warn them. It was that church of Ephesus, such a great city and such a great church. And he warned them so much against false prophets. And so they just exposed that and dealt with it tirelessly. And the evil around them was so bad with all the persecution, but they had not become weary and dealt with that. They had persevered, they were laboring, they were working. I thought, wow, that looks a lot like the church today. There's more evil in the world than we've ever seen. Just a few weeks ago, a pastor, a member from the Assemblies of God, was murdered in Nigeria. I know there's, in Arab world, there's those that are in prison. There's a lot of suffering. And not only in those countries. I don't know about you. Do you see a lot of suffering around you in people's lives? And there's a lot of evil. And there's a lot of things. This church, they were exposing those false prophets. They worked hard. They labored. They persevered. They didn't get weary. But yet, the Lord says to them, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. I thought, such an incredible church. Lord, could it be in the much laboring and working? You know, I remember a time, so I'm probably older than most of you, but I remember a time where it pretty much was, you know, you preached and you had church, but so much changed. There's so many things to tend to. And it's turned for the good in one way, but not so for the good in another way. Could it be that them dealing with all that evil and false prophets and working hard, that they had become somewhat, that it had become a weight to them, and they were distracted from their first love? The Lord said, you have forsaken your first love. And I always thought that meant, you know, your first love, when you first got saved. And you got to go back to that. But I really also think it means he is always to be our first love. I have many other things that I love. I love my family. I love dark chocolate, you know, Dutch cheese. But, you know, he is to be my first love. My first love. And he's a jealous God. And today, in this first session, we're coming to him as the baptizer. And he wants us. He wants you. And he wants to pour the healing oil into your heart and life. Just like for a moment, just in this moment right now, just kind of like forget about all the things and just say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you want me. Thank you that you want to fill me with fresh oil, with fire from above, Lord. I want to burn for you, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. I want you to be my first love. It has my attention and my devotion. Oh, in this last day, God yearning for the love of his people, because he is coming back soon. He's our bridegroom, and he doesn't want the bride sleeping, running out of oil for the light, or not having that love. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is here calling us unto himself. So wonderful that he is calling us unto himself. And he said, repent. Remember where you have fallen. Repent. and do the first works. You know, the first works may mean what you did before to make him your first love, but I also believe it means not only this way, but this way, what to walk in what he has created you, because that brings that passion and fire. And truthfully, for me, it's to spend time with lost people and disciple them so that I can give Jesus workers for his vineyard. That is for me. And I'm not sure what it is for each and every one. I know we're all called to it, but there's a specific thing in his plan. And sometimes the busyness of my roles doesn't always allow the time that I need. But Lord, I need to do the first works. And God wants to search our heart, because he said, remember when you're fallen. And he said, he also says that if you don't, he says, I'll come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. When I read that verse that day, my whole insides was screaming. No, Lord, no. We cannot afford to lose the lamp, to be on the lampstand. The Lord said, I will remove the lampstand. That's the light. We would, that church that day would continue to exist, working hard, dealing with the evil. Even they were dealing with the group of people that were okay with immoral things. They did so much. We would continue to exist as an Assemblies of God church, but not have the light effectiveness in this dark world. No. No. Therefore, Lord, we are coming to you as the baptizer for fresh fire. And Lord, I repent, I repent, I repent, I repent. Let's just stand. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. You know, a fire, we have to be conscious of the fire that is in us. I love that when I go into a dark place, that I can be conscious of the fire that is in me, because he is a consuming fire and he's in me and I can be conscious of it. But we also need to be conscious for the fact if the fire goes down, if the pilot light is too dim that it can't ignite the fire, Lord, I need to come to you for fresh fire. And the fire also needs to be fed. You know, just as you're standing, we used to have a wood stove that we warmed our house with. We had a big house, the work was in there. And we always had to put wood on the fire. And my husband was really good at it, but I wasn't so good in guessing the size of the wood. But one time he left, and he told me exactly what to do. And when he came back, he said, Esther, the fire is out. What's the matter? I go, I did exactly what you said. He went downstairs and he told me when he came back up, you didn't take the ashes out. The ashes are in there. It killed the fire. And maybe that's the dust of the earth. But I also believe today God wants to turn your ashes into beauty. Because he wants the fire to shine bright. He wants to turn your ashes into beauty. Spoke to a pastor this week. I feel I have to deal with the ashes. I said, you've been waiting for God to take them, but you need to give them to the Lord. So let's raise our hands to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, these last few seconds of this session, oh God, we come to you, Lord, for the fire, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you help us. This is how you live, Lord. Every day in the presence of your Father. Oh God, the fire was reignited in your presence. We come to you as the baptizer to fill us and consume us, oh Lord, with your fire of your love, Lord. Oh God, I thank you for this privilege. I praise you, Lord. Send us the thank you, Lord, and turn ashes for beauty, Lord. The joy of oil for mourning. The garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. We might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you be glorified. Amen.